The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
This is a terrific Tuesday. This is Bert Harper, along with co-host Dr. Alex McFarland with Exploring the Word. And we hope you're having a great day today. And we're drawing closer and closer to Christmas. And Alex, while we're doing that, let me remind people of what we're going to do the next 2 weeks after this week. We're going to replay two of our pre-recorded, studies of the book of Revelation and the book of Proverbs. You and I had the privilege of doing a study on that and making it available at AFA Store. And so we were talking to Jim Stanley, the Christmas break and everything, and he thought that would be a great idea. So starting next Monday, you'll be hearing the book of Revelation, and then when we get through that, the book of Proverbs, as you and I had the opportunity just to do, an overview of those two books.
Exactly.
We're hoping people will enjoy those once again.
Oh, I know. And, welcome, everybody. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, Exploring the Word. And, those are pretty special. And Revelation, Proverbs, we've Bert, in these 6-7 years between Marvin Sanders, yourself, and me, I mean, have we done all the books of the Bible yet?
Yes, we have. We've done all 66 books. You and Marvin went over some of those, like John and Romans, and I think it was Matthew. And then, you know, I've been on now 5 years with you, and counting the ones that you shared with me and the ones we've done.
Like,
yeah, it's, hey, time flies when you're having fun, Alex.
Well, that's right. You know the old story, the frog down at the pond, he said, time's fun when you're having flies. But time does fly. You know, we didn't start out to do this, but there's a great, great leader. He's with the Lord, J. Vernon McGee, through the Bible Radio. And he would talk about getting on the Bible bus. And it was a 5-year study of the Word of God. And in 5 years, they would go through the entire Bible. Now, we weren't trying to copy that, but I guess you're right. In about 5.5-6 years, we did the whole Bible, didn't we?
We did. And we're going to look at doing some special studies when we come back at the first of the year. And then after we do some of those, I would say, topical studies that you and I have talked about, we're going to jump into starting right over. We'll probably start with the ones that you and Marvin did, and I'll bring in my thoughts. And so we're going to keep on doing Exploring the Word. Listen, Alex, just because you've studied it one time doesn't mean you know it all.
Exactly. And do you know, there are a lot of new listeners. I mean, by God's grace, we get a lot of new listeners that maybe weren't, you know, tuned in 6 years ago when we started. And so we're going to go back. And folks, in 2017 and 2018 and beyond, all these books that you want to know about, and Bert and I are so excited about reading from, you know, like Genesis and Isaiah and the Psalms and the Gospels and the New Testament and Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel. Believe me, we're committed to the Word of God, to living it and to teaching it. And Bert, earlier today, I was on a show, and it was my privilege to interview Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association. And you know what? He said very emphatically, and this thrills my heart, he said, we are committed to the Word of God. And indeed Amen. We are, aren't we?
We are. And the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Word of God is the only one that the Bible talks about being able to separate soul and spirit. They're so tightly. Man is a trilogy, you know, body, soul, and spirit. But that soul and spirit can be so connected, it's hard to separate them. But the Word of God does that, what the Word of God says. So speaking of the Word of God, I want to give you a verse that we want to look at today. And then we've got a special guest that we're going to interview. But the verse that I wanted to bring our attention is Proverbs. We're talking about doing a study of Proverbs. But Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine. Some verses, some versions say laughter does good like medicine. But I enjoy laughing. I know, wasn't it Mary Poppins, the song, I Love to Laugh, and I enjoy that as well. So we've got a special guest today, Alex, and I want to take time to introduce him. And it's J.J. Jasper, who is he's been with AFR from the very beginning. He's the morning person. Used to we had just one network. Now we have three networks. But he's the morning person on the music side. But on Fridays, he's on all when they do Learning University. And J.J., welcome to Exploring the Word.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you so much.
Hello, my dear brother.
Hey, how are you, Alex? I so appreciate you and Bert. Thank you for breaking open the bread of life and teaching and exhorting and blessing so many of our listeners with Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for all you do. You know, I got to say this, folks, and we're going to get to his book, but J.J. Jasper is a very fascinating person, multi-skilled, lot of talents. The dude knows how to fly an airplane. I mean, J.J., you're like the only pilot I know firsthand, so you're an amazing tapestry of an individual. You really are.
Well, thank you for that, Alex. The first book we wrote was Moses Was a Basket Case. And technically he was, but it was hilarious, true stories to encourage and inspire. And what made me think of that, Alex, I wrote about the very first flying lesson I had that was turned out to be pretty haphazard. Excuse me. Then I wrote about I get to crisscross the country on weekends as a speaker and doing stand-up comedy. And once I was on my way to a tiny town in Kansas, I'll never forget, Bueller, Kansas, to do a Valentine banquet. Right as I was leaving, the person that took care of scheduling said, oh, by the way, they're putting you up in a bed and breakfast. And that would happen several times a year. People know what a bed and breakfast is, how they take an old home place and have it for room and board. I got there. Turns out the bed and breakfast was a nursing home. And the contact person said, oh, Bueller is so small, we don't have a hotel or a motel. But the nursing home lets us use a room for a bed and breakfast. And Brother Bart, you can't make stories like that up. And that's happened so much. So the first book was a bestseller, and we are so humbled and grateful for that. And this new book is a sequel of Moses Was a Basket Case.
It is called Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. Okay, listen, you're teaching theology. You know, we know it's a big fish, and you're able to tell us that it was a whale. Well, J.J., thank you, man, for straightening this out.
You know, my grandmother and her friends used to say they had a whale of a time. If they were talking about a big time they had, whatever they were describing. And so we just had a little fun with the title. It doesn't have anything to do with Jonah, but a lot of fun stories, zany and wacky, but they're 100% true.
Let me share this with you real quick. I was trying to think of a different way. I haven't completed it, but I've gotten over halfway. I've read this one. And on Liz and Cooper, I read it in 2 days. The other one,
yes,
your son and his death and what God, you know, helping to grieve well, you know?
Yes.
And it was great. But I've read this one, and I've come up with this. There's two things that Alex and I love. One is a movie, and it's called It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes,
okay?
Right.
And
right.
Another one is a situation comedy called The Andy Griffith Show.
Absolutely.
Okay? Now, I look at those two things, and what they did, they combined laughter with some drama with valuable, very valuable life lessons. When I read the part that I've read, Jonah Had a Well of a Time, I came up with those thoughts. They're humorous, but they're life lessons in the humor, J.J.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Brother Bert. Well, I put a devotion at the end of each chapter, and most of the devotions, rich in ministry, a few were just zany and wacky for fun, but thank you so much for that endorsement. What a blessing. Now, you talked about the book Losing Cooper. Not to create whiplash here, but excuse me, our first book was Moses Was a Basket Case. We had a lot of fun with it. And then, as you mentioned, we wrote Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well. And Alex, I know you'll concur, Thanksgiving, Christmas upcoming, during the holidays, no one warned us, but holidays seem to amplify grief. There's a glaring reminder that there's an empty seat around the table. So we are so thankful to have that resource and to let people know that God is there for you. He was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he was the fourth man in the furnace. He in the fire. He was with Joseph in the pit. He was with Daniel in the lion's den, and he'll be there with you, especially those of you who are grieving, and maybe you're in the very raw stages. Perhaps you lost someone this year, And you know what I'm talking about with the birthday and Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's just cruel. It's brutal. And it takes the grace of God to get through that, but you will get through that. And we wrote that book to offer practical, very practical and biblical tips and provide a roadmap, if you will, to take a person from where they are in the deep, dark pit to a place where they can say, okay, I'm grieving well.
JJ, you also got to recently record with James Dobson, didn't you?
My wife and I, Melanie and I, were out at Colorado Springs. You're exactly right. We taped with Dr. Dobson, Family Talk, and that's going to air the first or second week in January. And you've been on that show many times, Alex, and what a hero of the faith. One of my all-time champions, someone I've looked up to, and how wonderful to be in his presence. What a wise man who's pastored America for so many years.
You're right. Well, and Jonah had a well of a time. People, it's a good time. They can buy it, purchase it, give it to someone. JJ, some people only get to listen 15 minutes or so, you know, and they've heard it, but they won't be here when we tell them how they can get it. So let's do it two or three times. How can they get Jonah had a well of a time?
AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net. It actually helps the Ministry of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and you'll absolutely laugh out loud. When you read this, you're not just going to grin. I promise you, you're going to laugh out loud. I was talking with Brian and some of the others. I've been on a lot of shows today. I was at a book signing at Lifeway, and there were some people coming up, and I was signing books, and there was a lady who was not an AFR listener. She said, oh, that's a cute title. She said, well, what's it about? I said, well, you're going to laugh when you read it. She said, oh, is that so? I said, yes, ma'am, I guarantee it. She opened the book up, and just random, I don't even know where she's reading. She read about one sentence and just burst out laughing. And I got to tell you, as a humor writer, that did my heart good. And she said, okay, I want one for my daughter-in-law. I want to get one for my friend. And she started having me sign books for two or three people that she knew needed to laugh.
Amen. Well, for you folks, and you're going to stay with us for the second segment,
yes,
JJ.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's
Thank
one
you.
In here, and this is for us Mississippi folks. I know we got a lot of listeners all over, and those of you that live in Mississippi, but also those that say, what in the world is in Mississippi? One of the chapters is about this Kentuckian come to Mississippi and found a home.
That is the title of the chapter, and on the back of the book, you read this, J.J. Jasper has filled the airwaves with wit and wisdom for many years and blessed many people, including me. I congratulate my friend on this project. This book will make you laugh. You'll be inspired. My favorite is the Mississippi chapter, and that is from the governor of Mississippi, Governor
Phil Bryant.
So, we wanted to set the record straight. Most all the chapters are humorous, but that one was just to let people know that Mississippi is a wonderful place to live, work, and raise a family.
And AFR, we're right here in northeast part of the state that you've called home. And we're going to get back to it, and we got some specific questions to ask about some of these, taking a road trip with someone. You want to stick around. If you're driving with someone and you're taking a road trip and you're real sleepy, we want to give us some advice on how you make it. Would you be willing to share that good advice?
There's a lot of embarrassing things in the book, but I guess since I wrote about it, I might as well share it.
You going to own up?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with J.J. Jasper. We're talking about his book, Jonah Had a Well of a Time, and you can find it at afastore.net. It's right there. It's one of the banners. You can't miss it.
Just released.
Just released. So we'll be back right after the break.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
Some people put off coming to Christ until they feel like they have their lives in order. But Dr. Tony Evans says that's the exact opposite of how it works. He'll explain with the help of this illustration as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I was talking to a couple who was engaged. They wanted to get married, but there was a problem. The wife had accumulated over the years huge debt, and they just didn't see getting married with this debt. So I turned to the husband, I said, the fiance, I said, we can resolve this fairly easily. He said, how? I said, if you simply turn to her and tell her it's no longer her debt, you'll take it. I said, do you love her? Do you want to marry her? He said, absolutely. Then let her know that is no longer her burden. Let her know that's yours. After thinking about it for a few hours, he said to her, I want to marry you. I will take that burden and own it. Tears began to run down her eyes as she felt the weight fall off of her. She had a load, but she had a love. And when the love was willing to take the load, she had rest. Jesus says, come to me. You got a load, and I got plenty of love. If you turn it over to me, we still got the bills, but I'm going to bear the load and you don't have to lift the weight. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. Rest is a gift.
Discover how you can experience God's comfort even when you're uncomfortable. Check with us for details on Dr. Evans' series, Comforting the Afflicted, when you visit us online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Exploring the Word, Dr. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper with you, and our guest, J.J. Jasper. J.J., as we're going through your book, one of it was, you know, driving drowsy. I know you don't recommend driving drowsy.
Very dangerous.
Was that in your younger days?
That was in my younger days. Everybody who's taken many road trips, there's not much of a worse feeling than getting drowsy. And now don't judge me on this, because this was back when I was in high school. I'm going to leave a lot of details out, but my buddy Glenn and I were driving to Florida. When it got into the wee hours of the morning, we decided to go 10 o'clock at night and rushed and started going on this road trip living in Kentucky. Well, in the wee hours of the morning, we were both just so sleepy. He said, you know what? I'm going to drive 100 miles. You can sleep. Then you drive 100 miles, and I'll sleep. Then he modified the plan, and it got to 50 miles and 50 miles. Then he tweaked it again. It was 25 and 25, and one would sleep. The other would drive. Well, each time he would shake me, it felt like I just closed my eyes, like when you hit the snooze alarm. Sometimes it seems like it's an extended time. Others, it seems like a split second has passed. So it was my turn to drive. We're rushing around the hood of the car. I was so tired, Brother Bert and Alex, I thought, I'm going to get us killed. So as soon as he closed the door, his head flopped back, and he started snoring. So I did a horrible thing, Alex. I didn't go 25 miles. I went about a mile. And then I woke him up, and he was like, I feel great. Boy, it's not much, but it sure makes a difference. Then every time after that, this is so terrible to admit, I never even moved the car. I waited till he slammed the door, his head fell over against the glass, he started to snore, and I'd shake him on his shoulder, and he'd say, oh, he'd slap his cheeks, throw his hands in the air, and say, whoo, That's not much, but that power nap sure helps. And the whole rest of the way to Florida, I never even moved the car. I'd be in front of a big billboard or an abandoned car, and I'd think, how does he not look over there and say, man, these things are everywhere?
Now you know.
Wow. Well, you know what? If I ever do a road trip with you, JJ, we're going to drink a cup of coffee, and we'll each do our share of driving.
Yeah, you're exactly. Well, and you know, there's chapters in here titled Skunkus. I'm not even going to try to explain that. And there's a man's best friend, anyone who's a pet lover, that's going to resonate
cat,
with you.
A cat, right? A cat?
No, not a cat. oh, that's good. Boll Weevil, that's a chapter where we wound up driving a van down an airport runway in the middle of the night. I mean, I'm telling you, these are true stories. There's some are so zany and wacky, you're going to think, there's no way these stories are true, but I've got witnesses for most of these. And you live long enough, you'll have some crazy things to share. But there's a lot of fun stories in here, and I guarantee you'll laugh and hopefully be encouraged and inspired.
Yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
And well, JJ, traveling as a speaker, I really relate, because sometimes there are some really funny things that happen. Maybe they're not funny at the time, but staying with people and getting put up in places like you. I had to chuckle. You got put up in a nursing home. And let me ask you this, JJ. Is there humor in the Bible?
Yes, there is. I'm glad you asked, and we didn't plan this. In Proverbs 17:22, as Brother Burt mentioned, merry heart does good like a medicine. Laughter is good medicine. That's from the Old Testament. You look in the New Testament, and when Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, if you'll remember, when he said, come down, I want to go to your house, it says he scrambled down the tree, Zacchaeus did, tiny Zacchaeus, and it said, Jesus, I'm going by memory here, received him joyfully. And I think he laughed. I just think the sight of Zacchaeus just scrambling down that tree, it made Jesus laugh. And if you wonder if God has a sense of humor, you can look at the duck-billed platypus, or you can just look in the mirror to see whether or not God has a good sense of humor.
I guarantee you. I this is the one that gets me, and it is a parable, and it's talking about the speck, you know, that's in your, you know, friend's eye, and you're going to get it out while you've got a beam in yours.
Right.
Picture that in a comic strip.
Right.
You know,
yes.
If it scares you to death, but the humor is there.
That's right.
And JJ, we love the humor, and I've been listening to you. How long you been on the radio at AFR?
I was the very first voice on the very first morning back in the summer of 1991.
Okay.
When they flipped the switch, I said, good morning.
Wow. Well, I've been listening to JJ ever since then. And I come to work just about every morning listening to JJ. And he's my favorite disc jockey.
Oh, thank you, Brother.
Don't hear that. They call them radio personalities now.
Well,
you know?
I mentioned that in a book that with all, I think bosses give you fancy titles to avoid giving you a pay raise, because the garbage man is now the sanitation engineer, and the disc jockey, the DJ, is an on-air personality. And then I was talking about a horseback riding incident, and in that chapter I said that I'd heard about a fellow who was an equestrian-mounted bovine relocation expert. In other words, he was a cowboy.
Amen. Well, let's do it again. You can get a hold of this book at afastore.net.
Afastore.net. We had that book I mentioned, Moses, that was a bestseller last year, just for fun. We had a few thousand copies printed up and thought, let's offer this for Christmas. And we didn't know how it would go. Brother Burt, we sold out in either 6 days or 9 days, and these are already going fast, and people love to laugh. I found that out. Good, clean humor. It's hard to come by.
Hard to come by.
And it's sort of a one-size-fits-all gift. I'm surprised how many people are buying multiple copies, I guess for their small group or Sunday school teacher or family or friends or a school teacher. So we're just thrilled, and I can't wait for our listeners to read this, and I'd love to hear what you think, maybe over on Facebook or something, JJ Jasper on Facebook or jjjasper.com, but we're excited to see what our listeners think about this brand new book.
Amen. Well, Alex, I'm going to give the phone number, and if you got phone calls, you know, JJ's has agreed to stay with us, and we'd like, maybe if you have questions on any subject concerning laughter, grieving, issues like that, we want to hear from you. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And JJ is going to stay with us for just a little while, and maybe he got a question for JJ. Again, he is one of my favorite people, and we've known each other. We moved to Tupelo close to the same time and just got to know each other way back then. When you were a single guy and cutting trees.
That's right. Worked at a different Christian radio station and had a tree service. Alex, on my business card, it was Jasper Tree Service. We'll go out on a limb for you. So always had a little bit of humor in everything we do. But Brother Bert, I appreciate what an influence you've had in my life. You know, I attended your church for a short season. I saw you everywhere. There was a citywide rally. Our listeners don't know this, but you sort of were a regional pastor. You had one of the largest Baptist churches in the Tupelo Metroplex, and I don't know anybody in this area that is more loved and respected than you. So thank you. And our listeners know that as they hear you and Alex teach from God's Word, they just hear your tender heart, and they hear how much you love God's Word.
JJ, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
It's been my privilege to, you know, be around you for, you know, 5-6 years and get to know you. If there's one word that I could think of that really describes your personality, it's joy. A lot of joy. Always got a smile. Always just kind of a really sunshiny person. And, you know, God's blessed you, but you've had some valleys too. So you're very consistently joyful. Where does that joy come from?
You know, it comes from the very first Christmas. That little baby in the manger who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross, as people know, on that old rugged cross on Golgotha's Hill. But the good news for this time of year, or any time of year, is on the third day, just as was prophesied, just as was promised, he exploded out of the grave. I like one line in a song. It says he overwhelmed the grave. And it's because of the resurrection power, Alex. I'm so thankful for that very first Christmas. Without the manger, there wouldn't be a cross. Without the manger, there wouldn't be an empty tomb. And so, Nehemiah 18 says the joy, Nehemiah 8:10b, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And he's the one that just puts a smile on my face like the, I think it's Psalm, I forget which Psalm, it says he lifted me up out of the miry pit and he put my feet on a rock and gave me a new song. And it's just because of Jesus. I started out rough and he's forgiven me of so much, and to much who's been forgiven, to much love and praise for the Lord. And I feel like I'm a cheerleader over on the music side, weekday mornings, just trying to brag on Jesus and point people to the Lord.
Well, amen. I guess that's the reason I listen to you. I want that the morning. I want that good news starting out early, and you able to do that, JJ. Well, we've got people online.
Wonderful.
Let's see what questions or comments they have. Let's go to Texas and talk to Mike. Mike, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you, guys. I enjoy your show. Listen to it all the time, and it's kind of a everything fell in for this one day. And I'm glad JJ's on there. I talked to one of my customers yesterday and just kind of seen them what we're going through. My wife's 19 weeks pregnant, and we just found out the baby's trying to come out now. And as I was talking to this guy, he started breaking down. And I know a month and a half ago or so, back in October, he lost his son in a car wreck.
Mm.
And last year he lost a father in October, and he just started breaking down and sharing me the story with his daughter is going through pregnancy, and there that baby, they can tell in the womb there that it's having heart problems. And I'm getting ready to head out to this guy's place here in about an hour, and I just wonder if y'all got any words I can share. I know 12 years ago I went through a miscarriage and walked away from the Lord for, you know, about 8 years before I finally came back, and I don't want somebody else to go through that.
Hmm. I'm so sorry for what your friend's going through. Not to make this about us, but in 2008, my wife's father died, and she was a daddy's girl. 1 week after he died, she had a miscarriage on Easter Sunday morning, and later of that same year, on Labor Day weekend, I had a near-fatal horseback riding accident, and I was in the hospital 47 days, 7 intensive care. They said they didn't know if I was going to make it or not. So here my wife, sort of the Job in our story, Her daddy dies. She has a miscarriage, and her husband almost dies in the same year. The very next year is when our only son at the time died on our family farm. So we know about tragedy, and I would just share, but we know we're not the only ones who have suffered, but I would just say less is more. You don't want to show up with cliches. Prayer is the most important thing you can do for your friend, and when somebody is experiencing loss, you just say, I'm so sorry for your loss. And you don't, anything you're trying to do, and anything you haven't prayed about, you're trying to do on your own. So pray as you drive over there, pray for him, and then it's just going to be natural for your friend to ask why and to maybe think it's not fair, but God is sovereign, he's faithful. Our tragedy doesn't change his character. He's a good God, he's holy, and you just be there for him. 99% of the people that came through the receiving line when our son died, they said, I don't have any words. I don't know what to say. I'm just so sorry for your loss. And that was enough. That was very, very appropriate. Mm-hmm. If you try to say too much, you can cause more harm than good if you say, I know exactly how you feel, because you don't know how someone feels exactly. So maybe that would be helpful.
I do. I hope so. Two important words, be there. Be there. Mm-hmm. And I just want to tell you, they know, if they want to know certain things that you've been through it, they'll ask you. I've been in intensive care and emergency rooms, and they've had loved ones in there, didn't know if they were going to make it or not. And someone comes in, and the people who are hurting spot these people who have gone through it before. They'll gravitate to them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Comfort with the comfort that you've been comforted with, but sometimes you need to wait before you do that.
Corinthians, that verse you're talking about, offering comfort with the exact same comfort that you yourself receive from the Lord, you comfort others with that. But yeah, timing is everything. Less is more. Pray about it. And caller, if you want to stick around on the line or email, but if you want to give me the address of your friend after the show's over or something, I'll send you a free book, Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well. They're not free, but I'll send you one at no charge, because that's a roadmap to take people from where they are in a deep, dark pit to a place where they say, I'm going to make it.
Amen. And Mike, stay online. Cedra will get that. Let's get the next caller before we go to the break. We may have to take it over to the next one. Let's go to Texas and talk to Bonnie. Bonnie, welcome.
Thank you. It's Bonnie again. You were talking about just funny things and Jesus being happy and having a sense of humor. That's what I kind of caught out of that. But he always had these little cliches. The one that always caught me, and it's so true today, he said, you strain in a gnat and swallow a camel. And if that is not so much today, because that's what people do, they strain in a gnat and swallow a camel.
That's good, Bonnie, and funny. And that was probably meant to be a little, not sarcastic, but at least have a little edge on it and be funny for that time and that period.
Jesus was able to do that, wasn't he, Alex?
He really was. He really was. And, you know, when they tried to trap Jesus and debate Jesus, he would very decisively stand on the Word of God, and he was not able to be painted into a corner. But oftentimes you do get the implication that there was some sarcasm and even humor in his voice. And JJ, I tell you, you're a treasure, man. You really are. Go back. The book is Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. I know you've probably heard it said that, you know, a backslidden preacher even makes an animal nauseous because the whale vomited up Jonah on dry ground.
Well, I said there was no mention of Jonah, but my pastor wrote the foreword, and it was powerful. It's a nice little mini sermon.
It is. It's worth getting just the book to get that. We'll be back with more of your questions. JJ's going to stay with us.
Will you join me in praying for our nation? Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we just lift up before you your people throughout the United States. We ask that you would revive your people, revive your church. Lord, help them to be set on fire for you. I pray that your church would stand firm upon your word, Lord, and be led by your Spirit. When we look out into the world and we see the world's perspective, which is pressing up against us, I pray you would help us, Lord, to be faithful. Help us to persevere. Help us to have our eternal hope in view, that resurrected hope which will never perish, spoil, or fade. I pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Blair Lynn for OneCry.com.
Hello, I'm John Nyhoff, the president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Wesley Biblical Seminary provides a solid foundation based upon the inerrancy of the Bible and the call to holy living. Online or at our Jackson, Mississippi or Greenwood, Indiana campuses, our academically rigorous learning community will add incredible value to your Christian experience. Wesley Biblical Seminary, where faith and learning ignite with passion for Christ. WBS.edu.
One of the leading indicators of a community in crisis is the breakup of the family. I think it's a very clear illustration of what our culture demands right now, and that is the leadership of the church rolling up its sleeves, getting into our communities.
Hear the latest from Washington from a Christian, conservative worldview. Washington Watch Weekly with Tony Perkins, Saturdays at 6 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with fatherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio. Alex and Bert with you. And we've got our guest, J.J. Jasper, who has recently written and released the book, Jonah Had a Whale of a Time. It's a, again, my thoughts are it's filled with humor and life lessons that will help you and strengthen you and bless you and make you laugh. That's pretty good out of one book.
I try to put one-liners between the chapter. One, I said, because people are concerned about having a dysfunctional background, I said, if you have a dysfunctional background, always remember this. Every baby chicken came from a broken home. Now, that's true, Alex.
That is really true.
Amen.
And now, folks, think about that. Think about what that means.
What came first? Okay, we better not go there. Hey, listen, that number, we do have a line or two open, and we'd love you to ask J.J. Something about his books and, you know, anything about grieving, God's sense of humor. We would love to have. We may take others as well.
Kind of a whiplash there, yeah, between grieving and the fun book, but we'll gladly answer any question we can.
Isn't that life?
You know, it's real life, isn't it?
As pastor for I forget how many years, 38 years, yeah. I've gone to the same hospital, walked down one wing where a couple had lost their child at birth, walked down the hallway to another room where a family was there rejoicing over the child that arrived safely.
Mm, and circle of life.
Yes, I've done weddings like on a Saturday, and then that earlier that morning, I had done a funeral. So that's the life of the pastor, but it's the life of everybody.
It's real life.
So when you talk about the grieving and humor, you're really talking about life.
You laugh to keep from crying sometimes, just trying to slug it out in the trenches of life, paying bills, raising a family, and so. And everybody has fun stories to tell.
Okay. Listen, also someone called in. They wanted to know how they could get a hold of the other book, Losing Cooper. How can they get that one if they need that one?
Well, thank you, Brother Bird, and whoever the caller is. You can go to jjjasper.com, jjjasper.com. And as Alex mentioned, my wife Melanie and I are going to be on Family Talk with Dr. Dobson. That's going to be about the book Losing Cooper, Finding Hope to Grieve Well. That's going to be the first or second week in January when we know the exact date. We'll let folks know.
Okay. We'll do our best to pass it along as well, JJ.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got people online, so we're going to go to Louisiana and talk to Glenn. Glenn, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Doing good today, man.
All right. I have a little bit of humor. I always say that Junebug proves that there is a God and that he has a sense of humor.
A Junebug. That's pretty good.
A Junebug. Yeah, because you ever seen them, how they get up and they'll fly into a tree or a wall, and then they'll fall down on their back, then they'll get up and they'll do it how many ever times? Well, first of all, those who say that evolution and survival of the fittest, how is that survival of the fittest?
Exactly. Well, somebody said if evolution is true, why does the mother only just have one set of hands? And the moms can identify with that.
Amen. Glenn, thank you for
calling. Thanks, Glenn.
And it is true. When you look, how can a bumblebee fly?
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at a huge bumblebee and see what it does. And
big old body, teeny tiny wings.
Yeah. How in the world does a hummingbird fly like a helicopter up and down and just stay there?
You know, different people have written about how, from a physical engineering standpoint, a hummingbird can't fly. And yet, just watch it happen, because they do. So I just think it's beautiful how the wisdom of God has confounded the unbelief of man.
One more thing about your book, and then we'll go to the next caller. We want to, you know, go to each one. And one of the books, one of the chapters that intrigued me was naming your dogs. Listen. You got. I can tell you're filled with children when you come up with those names for dogs.
Yeah, or the cattle. Naming the cattle.
Yeah, naming the cattle.
Right. So fun. We let each child name the baby calf when it was born, and they started naming. We started raising cattle named Nightlight, and well, now I just drew a blank. But all the little names that made me think, wait, they just got a narrow lens that they see life through. So, you know, when you got animals named Pop-Tart and Nightlight and things like that, you know. So we had a lot of fun telling stories about pets and children and adventure and travel. And I think people are going to – the stories will resonate with our listeners.
The real good comedians usually I've noticed two things about them, and you have both of these, JJ. One is they notice the particulars. You know, the particulars are what's funny. You
right,
know,
right.
The look in that person's face and, you know, not just overall, but the details. You do good remembering the details. And the other thing is childlikeness. You know, I'm not talking about immaturity.
Right.
But yet enjoying life as a child. I've just observed that. It's, you know, the comedians that have good, you know, they don't resort to sexual and they just have clean fun. Look at the Andy Griffith Show.
Lucille Barnett, Andy Griffith.
Ball.
Yeah, and that's right. And I remember years ago a quote I heard. You remember when the best comedy used to be the good, clean kind? It still is.
Still is.
Hollywood doesn't get it. They think there has to be violence and profanity and sexual innuendos, but you still can have good, clean humor. And that's sort of what one person on show this morning said. This was a stand-up comedy routine in book form. And I like that because people need to laugh and they're hungry for inspiration.
Okay.
Exactly.
We're going to, Alex, you got a question again before we go to the next caller?
Well, JJ, I know a lot of people bring you in to speak. How can people, if they wanted to bring you to their community, how do they do that?
Thank you, Alex, for that. JJJasper.com. Stay real busy with Christmas banquets and Valentine banquets. Funny thing, I've got a Christmas banquet tonight, but I had one Sunday night, but this over the years, it seems like I get more and more invitations to be the keynote speaker for Pregnancy Center annual fundraisers. Did about 10 of those this year. And our family's pro-life. We believe in the sanctity of human life. And maybe the old adage, you don't know what you got until you lose it. If it was possible for us to even be more pro-life after our son, our only son at the time, after he died, it just seems like the value of life just goes to a whole nother place. And so it's just a real privilege to be there and at their annual fundraiser, and spoke about 10 different times this year, and 9 out of the 10, they exceeded their goal. So that makes you feel good that you're saving babies and helping raise money for life.
Amen. One more thing before we go to the next caller. You bring up, it brings so many things back. When the twins were born, you collected a new nickname, Jabraham. Now, was that your co-host Ron Shaker?
No, that was Tim Wildman. Tim Wildman. When I announced to our staff that my wife and I had twins on the way, my head full of gray hair, God has a good sense of humor. When they saw I wasn't joking, everybody was jaw-dropping. Tim Wildman said, "I'm going to start calling you Jabraham."
I love that. Okay, we got Isaac online from Texas. Isaac, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Howdy.
Hi, brother.
Hey, so I apologize. My question is going to be a little bit off topic, but it's something that's kind of been weighing on my heart for a while, and I was wondering if I could get some input from you guys.
We'll do our best.
Well, it's really been frustrating to me the kind of ambiguity in the Christian church. And I was raised, my father was a pastor, my grandfather was a pastor, so I was raised in the church, but I've also witnessed many different denominations of the church: Lutheran, Episcopalian, Catholic, Baptist, and it's really frustrating the level of division in the church. And there are even, like, I even know Catholics who think that you're going to hell unless you're Catholic, and there are certain Lutherans, more old school Lutherans, you think you're going to hell unless you're Lutheran. And I know you have many different denominations listening to her, so I'm not trying to offend viewers. This is from a guy who's trying to search for the truth, you know. Or I'm not trying to offend listeners, that is. I'm trying to figure this out. It's really frustrating because, like, if you were to imagine, and you can extend that to the other religions, imagine if you were to get in a single room and put in an atheist, which is very religious, by the way. Atheism is a religion. If you were put in an atheist, if you were to put in a Buddhist, a Hindu, a Muslim, a Christian, and who are just experts in their fields, and tell them all to try to convert each other and just ask which one is right, you know, why is your religion the correct one? Then they would all just say, ultimately, I think, maybe just ultimately it comes down to faith, you know. And, okay. And I know that the Christian Bible is by far the most accurate text ever written, by far. I think the closest one might have been, I think maybe Beowulf? I can't remember which, but so that is a lot of justification. However, research also shows that there are religious texts written previously to the Bible that have some of the same general themes in it, like a great flood and things like that, which makes sense.
That, it does. You know, if it happened, others would record that, right?
Hey, let me jump on this question for just a minute, and thank you for listening. Thanks for calling. Hi, Alex McFarland here. What's the truth? Your search for truth, I applaud you for that. Let me just say this. The Bible is the most well-authenticated, well-preserved, accurate book of antiquity.
Amen. Now,
yeah, it's trustworthy in that its manuscripts have been preserved, but it's also inspired in that its content was given by God. The Gideons, that wonderful organization that puts Bibles in hotels and all around the world, the Gideons have this tribute to the Bible. I won't read it all, but I know a lot of people have heard of it. It says the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation. It's this tribute to the Bible. And I think that part of the reason this ministry has succeeded, part of the reason this show has become as popular as it is, and part of the reason that, you know, we, with utter confidence, we know where we stand on the issues, is because we have a high view of Scripture.
We know where we stand because we know where the Bible stands. And I would just encourage you and everyone listening, remember that the Bible is our source book of truth.
It is. Isaac, I just want to tell you the superiority of Christianity. I had to take world religions. I took it, and, you know, they tried to teach it with the facts, you know. And when you do that with something, with someone unbiased, even not biased toward the Bible, you'll find out the superiority of Christianity. You'll find out the superiority of literature concerning the Bible. It is superior. But let me give you this, and J.J. And Alex and Isaac, this is something that I really, it blessed my heart. John chapter 6, Jesus is speaking to them, and he said some very hard things. And it says in John 6:66, from that time, many walked away from him and walked no more with him. Jesus noticed that, obviously. They walked away. Jesus looked to Peter and the rest of the apostles and said, "Are you also going to go away?" Peter, who had a kind of a reputation of putting his foot in his mouth, he didn't that time. Here's what he said. "To whom would we go? Mm. You have the words of life."
Amen.
Isaac, I just want to tell you, you go to the Bible and you get to the things that are clear. You always start with the things that are clear to go to the things that are more difficult. Always. That's the way you do any kind of literature. You go to the things that are clear, and then you go. The Bible has some things that are difficult to understand. I admit that. Don't try to understand them first. Go back, and Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me."
Right.
Jesus is the only way. He is the one, isn't he, JJ?
Absolutely. He doesn't just have the answers. He is the answer. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me," as you said. And it's a relationship with our living Lord. It's not rules. It's not religion, per se. It is it's a relationship with the living Lord.
Alex, that sounds familiar, what JJ just said. Something we say all the time. We're looking for a relationship, not religion.
Exactly. Not rituals, but reality. And, you know, I just... JJ, I want to applaud you for this book because what you do, yeah, you make people laugh. You engage people with some riveting stories, but you're sharing the gospel. And sometimes we're sharing the gospel through a deep lecture or a pulpit or, you know, a radio show. Other times through humor, and you do it well. And so I thank God for what you do, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. I noticed years ago from public speaking that at first I felt a little guilty about making people laugh, especially if it was a serious subject. Then I noticed that it's really a gift from God, laughter is, because it would pull the walls down. People would just laugh, and they would just have side-splitting laughter, and then they would just relax, and they'd say, "Okay, whatever you have to say," kind of like that spoonful of medicine. You know, it goes down easier with laughter.
It builds trust, doesn't it? I mean, if you can make people smile and laugh, then I think they trust you.
They warm up to you.
Well, Satan uses humor for the same reason, and that is to break down barriers. At Christmas time, the church where I pastored before I came here, we would do a Christmas musical. The last 5 years, we did a Mayberry Christmas. And then we would invite the prisoners who were at the local jail to come in one night. Nobody else was there, but they were there. And we would see them come in, especially those that were older and more hardened. When they came in, we could see the curtain, the mask that they were wearing hard. But because of humor in the first 15 minutes, we saw that break down, and then they would receive the gospel later on.
Amen.
JJ, your humor has purpose, brother.
Thank you, Brother Bert.
Jonah had a well of a time. This is Random True Stories to encourage and inspire by J.J. Jasper. I recommend it. Alex says he doesn't recommend a book he hasn't read. Well, I've read just about all of it, and I recommend it highly. And you can go to afastore.net, and you can order yours. They could even get more than one, couldn't they?
Get some for Christmas. I'm excited about people having a chance to read this. Love to hear what they think after they read. Jonah had a whale of a time. Thank you, Brother Bert and Alex.
Thank you for being with us, JJ. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.